looking for a good time. Then you came to the right place, cause right now we about to get lit. Got something cooking in the pot, so you should grab a seat and take a shot, cause this vibe is about to
come from me in the kitchen. I'm serving the dish. They either hate it or they love it, but they know that I won't miss. Cuz who came through with the vocals, least to be with a hit. Shout out to Steel Magazine, let them know we the shit.
Disturbingly random, random.
Yo, what up, twin?
Yo, what's up, baby?
Good with you?
I'm cooling, man. I just was running, man, and had to go get my daughter. Try to do that in time to get back to get here. And
yeah,
it was a false alarm with her, so that took me off a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it ain't nothing. We still Gucci, though.
Yeah, what's
yo,
good?
I thought you were still filming. I said, you know, they must be still filming.
Yeah, nah. Actually, the one female that was in the scene that I'm in, she had some little bit of issues that she couldn't make it. So we're gonna do it tomorrow. That scene.
Okay, that's what's up. Yo, touch base. Yo, this is my man Nathan. My twin, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Fresh Flicks right here. Shorty Fresh. You know him as every all types of things, man. Watch Me, the Watch Me owner, the Watch Me brand ambassador.
True.
You know what I mean? Fresco from It Was Written Whips. got a lot of monikers there, man.
Word. Look, I'm a man of five heads, so I need five monikers, you know?
No doubt. It was crazy because I was like, yo, when I seen what was the joint before It Was Written? It was Loyalty and Betrayal. And I saw you in it before I even got a chance to even say I saw you in it. So I saw it and I was like, hold up, that's my man right there. I was saying, yo, I saw you in Loyalty and Betrayal.
Yeah.
And it was before I even knew. I looked and I saw, hold up, wait a minute. And I backed it up and I saw it. I was like, wait a minute, that's my man right there. Said, hold up.
Oh, you ain't wrong.
Nah, I didn't know until I saw it. You know what I mean? You know? So it's kind of crazy that you think seeing you in it before I even seen you even post anything about it. You know what I mean? But that was dope, though. And it was dope. You know what I mean? What happened? What happened to Loyalty and Betrayal, though?
It was, you know, to say it in a better word, a little bit of miscommunications, a little bit of, you know, you know, people got differences of opinions and people got their own routes and you know, they see things for how they want to see it. And it was rolling, you know, it was going to be a beautiful thing because they already had a beautiful thing going, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the former cast of the Mayhem Web series.
Okay.
Which won, you know, they won awards and they did their thing with it. The numbers was getting crazy. And they left from the Mayhem thing and then formed Loyalty and Betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And with Loyalty and Betrayal, like I wasn't a part of Mayhem because, you know, truth be told, well, allegedly, the maker, the creator of Mayhem didn't want me on his web series for whatever reasons. I mean, I approached him, you know, I mentioned it because that's what I do. I don't let too much float over my head. But I mentioned it to him the day of. I was on Mayhem's last ep.
Okay.
They did a barbershop scene, and my man, Mr. H, he called me and said, yo, I want to come and do a scene up in the barbershop. I want you in it. I said, well, you know, your dude don't want me in it, though. Mm-hmm. And he like, yo, you my guy. I'm getting you in it, my nigga. I need a barbershop scene. You a barber. We doing it right there. So long story short, they came, they shot it. I was a little impressed because I'm like, all right, I'm on Mayhem. I just want to show, you know, another avenue of what I can do, what I could possibly get into and make, and you know, and create something. So I did it. You know, it came out dope. When me and dude was outside, you know, he mentioned that he liked it what I did, and I was like, yo, you know, word got back to me that you didn't want me on Mayhem. What's with that? He was like, come on, Fresh, man. Ain't nobody say that. And one of my mans told me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why sometimes, you know, we may all know each other, but everybody don't got that bond, you know.
No doubt.
It
no
looked
doubt.
One way, but it's really not. It's a facade until you get into the inner circles and find out what it really is. So one of my main dudes who was one of the main characters on their set, he hit me and was like, yo, what's up with you and him? I'm like, ain't not with me and him. I mean, he used to be my manager at Walmart at once. Mm-hmm. And you know, things got a little corny there, and I addressed some things there that I ain't like about stuff. So I don't know if it stemmed all the way from that till now, but he claimed he didn't say it, but my homie said he said it. He's saying he didn't say it because you mentioned it to him. But my scene got taken off because on my scene they had the cat from Jersey City, Al Bial.
Okay.
You heard of Al Bial?
Yeah.
Al Bial's song was playing on that scene. That was in the midst of Al Bial popping off. He had just signed and all that. So, you know, it comes to things of rights. You know, I don't care how cool we are. Again, I don't care how cool we are. Now it's business. Like, you putting out Mayhem and you got a popping little platform. I'm going to need a couple. I need something for the song. You ain't even asked me, can you use the song type hit.
Okay.
So they stripped the song, which means that scene had to be stripped because everything was completed already.
Damn, so, man.
I mean, after that, I was like, you know what? It's all good. You know, I've never been the type that drops something and not pick it back up.
Right.
So when they did Loyalty and Betrayal, the creator of that is my guy. I hit him and was like, yo, since I couldn't be on that, won't you give me a shot on this? Like, absolutely. It go without saying. I was like, all right, cool. And then we started Loyalty and Betrayal. And then to get to what your question was, Mayhem somehow resurfaced again. And it wasn't going, something wasn't going right. So
that's how it be.
Dismantled, bro. A beautiful thing. And I understand it because I know a lot of the characters. They my mans. You know what I'm saying? And some of the females is my home, is they my girls. But some people see the big picture. And some people can only see that picture that's on YouTube or your TV screen or you know, the cinema. No, it's a bigger picture.
When you look at it was written, you can see a little bit of the Loyalty and Betrayal undercurrent there. You can see it. You can see that it was from the same people or whatever, like that, the same minds or whatever. So I thought it was like kind of like a sequel or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? So it seems like it's kind of turning the page right into that. That's how it seemed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was. You know, for the most part, I think it would have had the same, you know, content, same vision as a Mayhem, because most of them dudes, let me stop calling them dudes, but most of the characters, the actors and the actresses, they were, you know, most of them to me, they naturals. And they're known in the hood. They're known in our city for being exactly who they were on Mayhem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some of them be out here on that. You know what I mean? But, you know, when it goes down to the business part of it, playing the character is cool and getting my little name up and all that is cool, you know, but we at a point where we gotta do business.
Right.
And it don't seem like business was handled correctly. I don't wanna bash what it was or what it could have been. But, you know, I'm outside looking in.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But I got concubines and stuff like that in. So I get the inside scoop, you know. And I wished everybody the best from the beginning. You know, I didn't think it was going in. I saw the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
So did you ever think like this whole web series? Listen, you Fresh, you've been around. You've done seen things. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Whether it was music, and anything, you know what I'm saying, whether it was like, yo, the streets, whether it was, you know, yo, you've seen things, you know people, right, anything. Did you ever think this web series thing was going to get so big the way it's getting?
No.
No. Nope. Crazy,
right?
It'll
stay on a, I thought it would stay on a, you know, a underground level, like a black market level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I never would think that it can, I mean, you know, it's always been happening, but not around the realm of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then we caught on, you know, people intrigued people, and the right people caught on, and it intrigued all the way down to, you know, me. I just love acting, you know, because most of it I'm not acting. This is me. This is like when you watch,
I was gonna say that
series, it's gonna be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you never saw a situation, say I'm in there banging, shooting somebody. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you never seen that,
mm-hmm.
don't think that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at a character and judge them from what they see. Most of it is, you know, it's no good. And when you see them on the street, they different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to be me. Like, even if they want me to do something that I really don't want to do, I'm not going to touch it. Because y'all know that's not me. I'm not going to do nothing that y'all know that's not me. Because I want to keep my character genuine. I don't want to be an actor. I want to be a naturalist. This is dude in real life. This not acting.
Yes. Nah, Fresco. Fresco is fresh. Fresco is fresh.
And where is Bond Twin? That's the reason why when they say, all right, you got to come up with a character name. I said, all right, look. I ain't even got to think too hard. I said, I get a lot of people, Spanish people, Dominican, they think I'm Spanish or Dominican or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I love them all. You know what I'm saying? I could be, but my parents ain't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them call me Fresco because it's fresh and, you know, in interpretation. So I was like, oh, I like that. I like that. Fresco. You know, since they think I'm that and that I look like that, fuck it. I'm going to have fresh and Fresco.
Word.
So I told them, I said, I want to keep fresh, but I'm going to call it Fresco. Maybe they'll think I'm Puerto Rican or Dominican on the set. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want nobody to see me in the street. Yo, Donathan, word up. You be playing your part. Oh, yo, Deshaun, yo, ain't you from such and such? I don't want that.
How about
Fresco? Peace. you know what I mean?
Word up.
But I love it. So, man. I didn't think it'd come like this. I didn't.
So when you join the joint, you in the series and they think it was written, every time somebody see you, every time you show up in a scene, you got on Watch Me. It says something that says Watch Me.
Yeah.
Like now. There you go.
I keep it on, bro.
Explain that. Explain this Watch Me thing.
Watch Me is my brand. I'm not going to call it a clothing line because it's a brand, meaning it's going to be more than just clothes. You know what I'm saying? I want to get it as far as it can go. You know, I got a wide vision of where it could go. So it's a lot of opportunity and spaces out there for that brand. But I started it as a clothing line. I started off with watches. Mm-hmm. 2000 and let's say 13, I had got some watches done. And the reason why I called the brand Watch Me is because I was getting the watches to try to do something else before I even came up with a brand. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to get these watches because, long story short, I was getting sponsored. Me and DJ Cheese, the infamous DJ Cheese, Piece of Cheese. DJ Cheese was getting sponsored by a group of people, a bunch of different groups of people. Me being an artist on his label, he was making them sponsors sponsor me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the sponsors was a watch company. I was filling the watches. They was dope. So I was taking them, doing creative little ads and pictures with them. You know how I do, just playing around, do what I do. And the owners of that company saw it and was like, hit me, requested me to be friends. then inboxed me and was like, yo, we like what you're doing over there with the watches. Like, you're real creative. Like, we like the way you think. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, thank you. You know, I hear that. So I'm like, thank you. Appreciate it. You know, I love the watches. I'm just out here having fun. And, you know, if that's what y'all call it, promotion and whatever, then cool. But I'm out here just wearing y'all watches and repping, you know, the brand. Mm-hmm. So long story short, they died out. I was selling watches for them and everything. I had it, bro. I had it ringing. I was doing mm-hmm. my little thing for them. So they fell out, long story short. When they fell out, in my head, I said, damn, I had a nice little wave with them watches. I should mm-hmm. try to get some of them. You know, as a hustler mentality, I'm like, damn, I can't just stop because they stopping. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm new with this, and nobody in this perimeter has these. Nah, I gotta mm-hmm. find these. So I took it upon myself, like, I ain't a bad guy. I hit them dudes, man. I inbox some dudes quick. The man, mm-hmm. like, yo, what's up with y'all? Y'all ain't doing nah. You know, he going his way, I'm going mine. I said, so what's up with the watch thing? We ain't even gonna do it no more. I said, nah. I said, nah, we're gonna do other stuff. He's gonna live his life. I'm gonna live my life. I said, so no more watches. I said, no more watches. I said, all right, I'm kind of hurt because I was about to make a little bit more money for y'all. Mm-hmm. But on the good end, I think we cool enough for me to ask you a question. He said, what's the question? I said, can you direct me to where to get them watches? He said, I'll send you to where I get them from. I said, mm-hmm. cool. We exchanged numbers. I hit the company up like, yo, I wanna purchase a bunch of watches. It was like, all right, what colors? I'm like, give me the rundown and I'll give you the rundown. So about 2 days go by. In my head, I'm like, I'm gonna start a brand with these watches. What can I call my brand? And twin, no lie, God is my witness. And within like three, four seconds, Watch Me popped up. Mm-hmm. But the Watch Me that popped up was the verbal statement.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me. Mm-hmm. Watch me.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to say watch me because it's not about me. It's about this mm-hmm. brand. I'm going to connect the watch into me, turn it from a verbal statement into a mm-hmm. fashion statement.
Mm-hmm.
Put the brackets on the front and at the end and just mm-hmm. make one word, watch me. So it's not mm-hmm. watch me, it's watch me, the brand, not me. And I got that shit put on, I could curse on here, right? But I put the watch me on the band, said, fuck it. Here go them watches again that I was selling before, but I mm-hmm. got my name on it, y'all. Let's see if y'all gonna cop these. Let's, I'm showing you, you know, I'm showing you growth. I went from that mm-hmm. to my own now.
True.
And the city loved me, man. I could never say nothing bad about Elizabeth. And I can't mm-hmm. say nothing bad about where I'm originally from. I'm Edison, Potter's Crossing.
Okay. The
people love me, man. People support me in anything I do, bro. Anything yeah, okay. I do, man. I mean, not to the point where, oh, you should have been up in the storefront by now. Or why you ain't got a big building? Why you ain't got an office? It's like,
sometimes that ain't the route. Sometimes that ain't the route.
Because I got all that right here, sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
In a phone. Yep. My yep. spot in this chair, in this phone.
That's your new office. Your new office is in your hand. Yep. Your new office is in your hand.
Word is mine. So it went from the watches. And you know me, I always try to be, not even try to be, it's embedded in me through my family's bloodline and through a lot of my friends to always like be fly, always, mm-hmm. you know, have different attire to mix up. So in my head, I'm like, all right, I gotta go with the hats. I gotta get some, I gotta get some tees to go with the watches.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got every color tee to match the watches. I had 12 color watches. Male and female. So I went and got 12 colored tees just in case they want to match it. Tee mm-hmm. and watch. Did that. Pretty good run. Nice little run. I'm like, all right, I like this. It started becoming fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from, you know, from the tees to the fittest, the snapbacks. From the snapbacks to the scullies, the dad hats. You know, that type thing. Then I went into the hoods, of course, and the crew neck sweatshirts. Then I went into the Letterman jackets. Then I into everything else that my branding could be on somebody. You be in somebody's house, they drinking a coffee, the coffee turn a little bit. Oh shit, you got Watchmen on your cup, you know?
I saw you.
You at Asbury Park, little white boy, not to call him a color, but little skateboard boy. Pick a skateboard up and walk with it. You see a Watchmen stick up.
Going on a skateboard. Yeah, yeah.
I'm wherever with it, man. I'm wherever. Yeah, yeah. Word up.
That's what's up. Sidebar. I got a t-shirt, Nathan, but I do need a jacket this winter. Nathan, I need one of those jackets, Nathan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could get you one. You already know the shit.
So I see you. I see you wearing all of the Watch Me stuff in It Was Written web series. Why everybody else don't wear that? Why they not getting fly in a Watch Me brand? That's what I'm trying to
think. On the web series?
Yeah.
Because, for one, my man who the creator, the owner, operator of the web series, he has his own brand. Everything he wear, that's his brand.
Okay, got you.
We was doing Loyalty and Betrayal, a few people was like, yo, why everybody got to wear that brand? Why you got to wear your brands every episode?
Mm-hmm.
So me on my defense was like, because I'm branding. Like, I ain't wearing it just every time we shoot off episode.
You do that in real life. You
see me, I got this on.
True.
I don't go in my closet and put this on because we filming. No, I had this on already today.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wear it every day. I made a pact with myself when I first started. Yo, I'm going to get to the point where if don't nobody want to cop my stuff, bro. I'm having so much fun and I love doing it so much. I'll wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get it to the point where I could wear it every single day. I got something else with it on.
True.
I want to scratch my leg and you see I got the socks on. I want to lift up my shirt in the summertime. You see I got it wrapped around the waist of my boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't try to get no one to wear it on the episode unless they said, yo, Fresh.
Let me get that.
Right. I got a few people that own some of the merch that's on there. And you may see them pop up with it on one day. You never know, you know. But
that's from the heart. That's just on their own.
Yeah, on the hip. Yep.
I hear you. I know you and anything, you know what I'm saying? And I know, like, back in the days, it was music. You was doing music.
Yeah.
And then you said you signed to Cheese later on down the line or whatever when he came home. Right. What happened with the music? You still doing music or
the music thing? Yeah, man. I know it sounds like I may be doing a lot, but I don't think I'm doing enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I get like that most of my thinking. But the music thing is gonna always be there. I'm gonna call it not my first love, you know, my mom's and my pops, you know, God, those are my first loves. But my first, you know, something that really touched my soul was music.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the strength of, you know, my Uncle Fuzzy was an original Parliament Funkadelic member.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to like being the very first third one of the group. And then it escalated up to Parliament Funkadelic. So he was in it, you know what I'm saying? He used to come by the house, man. You know, that's my grandmother's brother. He used to come by the house all the time out there in Edison, Potter's Crossing. He used to come out there with fucking, no bullshit, with George Clinton, Bernie Worrell, Grady, all of them. They would pull up one time, maybe once or twice. He pulled up from the tour bus, sitting right in front of the house in the hood. And we talking 75, 1970. I can remember because certain stuff sticks to your memory. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this is my uncle. This is a family member. But they used to come to the house, and my uncle would pull me all the time. Now they rolling, touring and everything. He will always have the time to go, nephew, come here. I go, what? He'll go sit on my lap. He'll put me on his lap. And he'll do shit like this, no lie. He'll bop his leg, he bop his knee and pat on my back and make like a beat. But I'm on his lap and I'm like to his beat. And I like it. I'm a kid. I'm 5. Next time he may come, he bring me like some drumsticks and a drum pad. Mm-hmm. Like, huh, this how you bang on this. This how you do, this how you keep a metronome. This how you keep a tempo. And he would go, like all that simple stuff like that he would teach me. And it just made me more interested. Because I'm like, this is my uncle. My uncle be on TV. He got to know what he's talking about. You know, I don't know he's fuzzy from Parliament Funkadelic because I'm too little. Mm-hmm. But the intrigue was there, and I ate it up. I ate it up. My soul was like, grab it. Pay attention when he come. So growing up, I get like now 11. Here comes hip-hop. Now, mind you, before hip-hop, I'm beating on tables and shit already with my hands, making beats. Why? Because I was taught it already. I've been doing it since 5. I'm 11. I've been doing it 6 years now. I'm banging on cars outside. People are like, damn, you make beats? How you doing that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hip-hop come. Oh, shit. DJing. Okay, DJing, the first form of hip-hop. Like, okay, I could do this too. So check it out. I'll be trying to make my story short because the stories is so, you know, tremendous. But I goes to my mom. I go, Ma, you know, and it's around the time Cheese already DJing. Like, I'm walking past his house. I hear him. Wah, 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 wah. My friend's like, you always listening to him. Why he all he doing is scratching on records. I'm like, nah, motherfucker. He keeping rhythms and he doing different shit up there with them records. He ain't just, most DJs was give it, boom, 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 boom. Jesus up there like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I need to find out what this about. One day he looked outside, yo, come upstairs. I'm like, oh, shit, go upstairs, start showing me. Now, mind you, I went from what my uncle was teaching me from music to DJing under DJ Cheese, the world infamous DJ Cheese. They could Google him. He's the first, he's the first world supreme seed DJ. You know what I'm saying? And so I goes to my mom. I go, Ma, I need 2 turntables. My mother said, boy. I said, Ma, for real, I need 2 turntables.
You just went in there for 2. You ain't go for 1. You went for 2.
Yeah, because I was spoiled, man. I was spoiled. No brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? I'm spoiled as hell. Like, Mom, let me get 2 turntables. My mother said, so you can ziggy, ziggy, ziggy? I said, yeah. She said, all y'all doing is messing up the records. And then you go on records, and you scratching them all up. I said, nah, man, nah. Because in my head, I'm like, I'm being taught. She's doing something different. She's ain't just messing up these records. She said, I can't get you the turntables because they cost too much. Now, check this out. This is so heartfelt to me. She said, but what I can do is, being as though we got a record player downstairs, I'll buy an identical one, another one, and now you got 2 record players. Can you do it like that? I said, I'll do something. Get them. Got them. Long story short, Cheese could tell you this if he was on this live right now. She said, know what I respect about you? He said, yeah, I'm world supreme. See, DJ, world known, records out, Hall of Fame, Hip Hop Hall of Fame, all that shit. What I admire about you, Fresh, you was the only nigga I've ever seen DJ with 2 record players and no mixer. 2 record players, bro, and no mixer. To this day, people be like, that don't even sound right. I'm like, all right, let me break it down. I was so creative at a young age, at 11 years old, bro. I looked at that record player. I looked at the phono button. It had phono, auxiliary, stereo, AM, FM. Mm-hmm. So me, I go to AM. I turn the dial all the way to the end where you don't hear nothing. I go to FM. Turn the dial all the way to the end where you hear nothing. Turn to phono. It's already quiet because that's the record player. Mm-hmm. Turn to... stereo, that's just a stereo mono button. Mm-hmm. A little clearer or a little dull. Mm-hmm. I said, oh shit, I got it. At a young age, I said, I got it. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna turn the phono button from stereo to phono. Stereo to phono. So wham, 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 wicked, wicked, wham, 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 like that. Wham, 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 wham.
That was your mixer?
Bro, when I was doing little talent shows, people was like, what the fuck is you doing? How you doing that?
You just killed him at JP. Is that JP killed him with the talent show?
JP at the choreo at the what was the show called? Not a talent show, the choreo show.
The choreo show.
With Mr. Lovin' Dusky.
Yeah, yes, right? Indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Me, Jimmy O from Patterson.
Uh huh.
And Vance Adams' brother Rajon. Chill.
Listen, when I moved to Jersey, I heard all about you. I was like, yo. It was like, yo, Fresh be doing it. They was like, yo, you got to see him. I was like, yeah. I said, Fresh doing like that. I was like, oh, I got to see this.
Word. Little, though. You know what I'm saying? It was shocking because I was so young and little. A lot of my friends couldn't understand where all this shit was coming from. But I'm like, yo, y'all around me every day. Y'all know my uncle be up there. Y'all, mm-hmm. y'all tell me I'm bugging for going over to Cheese House and listening to him do all this. But now mm-hmm. all of that is coming into fruition. And now mm-hmm. y'all see. What y'all should see is I picked up a lot of that info and ran with it. And now I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? So the music thing, hell yeah. I had an extensive career. If I passed away right now on this live, you and whoever watching, just know that I had a beautiful, enjoyable, full of life career in the music tip without signing a deal. Meaning I've been on some of the biggest stages. I performed with some of the biggest artists. I was in some of the biggest record labels. I was in meetings with some of the biggest execs. I had 3 record deals on the table at once, a bidding war that came from a 60-second promo that I had on BLS in 9-5. I did a 60-second, that's 1 minute, promo for WBLS. They played that shit, and Eric Sermon broke his neck to call, got in touch with me. Yeah, if he ever see this live, Eric Sermon broke his neck to go get in touch with me. Select Records try to get in, was got in touch with me, this other guy from Def Jam, I forget his fucking name. He wasn't none of the major dudes from Def Jam, but he could walk right in their room and go, yo, this the next nigga, play this. But you know, I ran around with Biz. Before I got with Biz, me and my MCs was running the roads. At 13, 14, we was getting in the car, going to Hightstown, going to North Carolina, just asking, could we perform at people's little parties and shit. You know what I'm saying? From mm-hmm. that, I got into my own, I became the rapper at 9-1. I wrote my first rhyme, a serious rhyme where I was like, I'm gonna be a rapper, fuck it. I wrote that rhyme in 9-1. I put it out and like, 9-3 or 4, just to put it out on this mixtape, mm-hmm. and it popped. The city went crazy. Shorty Fresh, da 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 da. We start performing, gigging, doing our thing. Had the 3 record deals during that time. On our own, independent.
Mm-hmm.
Our own shit, independent. Had 3 record deals on the table and shaking and baking around this motherfucker, like getting known. Long story short, I believe God's will is the best will. His plan is the best will. I mean, his plan is the best plan. It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with it. I can't be upset with no one.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen. But right after that, Biz Markie heard of my shit, got in touch with me. That's big bro to this day. Call him right now. He'll jump right on this live like, fuck it, I'll put me on there. We like mm-hmm. that. But I start running with Biz. And that's why I mentioned some of the biggest stages and biggest artists, because that's who I was with when I was around these people. Mm-hmm. I was performing and running around with Biz.
Mm-hmm.
Biz treat me like a little brother. to this day treat me like a little brother. Biz give me info. Biz answers the phone within between 1 to 3 rings. If he don't answer, he call me right back. He call me sometimes just to be like, yo, you heard that mix I did earlier? Like, it's my guy. It's my big bro. Ran with him. Showed me a lot of stuff. Had deals on the table. Long story short, didn't go through. But to this day, he said, yo, it only take one. It still only take one. And if you get it and I hear it, he said, if you get it and I hear it, forget about it. If I don't get you a label, I'll spin you at every club I'm at. And bring you with me. And you perform that shit if it's like that. But after Biz, I started running with Malik Pendleton. Malik Pendleton is the I call
he
him.
Wrote for Mary. He wrote for Mary. He wrote for Mary.
Jhené, SWV, fucking Diana Ross, Wyclef, Change of Faces, 702.
Out of Linden, right?
Yeah.
Linden area.
Yep, and that's my bro. You know what I'm saying? He had a meeting set up for me, with me, and was like, yo, I need to meet you. Come to the crib. I'm like, all right. My man that hooked us up was like, yo, he popping off. You got a hook with him. I'm like, I don't even know who the fuck that is in Linden. Malik, nigga, I know mad niggas from Linden. I know inner side niggas from Linden. I never heard of him. Long story short, he inner city nigga. That's my, he know all the niggas. He cool with all the niggas I'm cool with. So long story short, I get with him. And man, it took me from all this hip hop I was doing, from DJing to being an artist and performing and saying, I'm going to get a record deal. It took me from that to all the way transitioning over to all this R&B shit. So now I'm like, damn, I'm killing my time leaving my hip-hop shit. To come over here and follow a producer that's doing this R&B shit. This R&B shit ain't for me. I mean, I'll come with you to events and cool out and dress like I'm R&B-ish, but What the R&B gonna do for me? You know, I'm thinking as an artist.
Yeah.
But he was like, I want you to be my artist. I want you to be my only rap artist on my label. I was like, damn, I feel honored. He was like, nah, nigga, I heard about you. Everybody know what it is with you. I'm gonna make you the only rapper on my label. I'm about to have, he has songwriters, musicians, and all that shit. I was the only rapper. Until we got a little in, and he brought this other dude in. But while I was running with Malik, I built relationships with Mary. Mary is my girl. I could tell clear, vivid, believable stories of me and Mary and how cool we are outside of me just being bro. You know, I'm with him.
How you smashed her?
Who, me?
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead. Go ahead, man. I said, how you smashed her? But go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
I ain't smashed that, man. That's my girl, man. That's my girl, bro. I ain't smashed. Hell no, I ain't smashed. And I ain't lying because I'm on screen. But nah, I wouldn't try to because the very first day I met her, the vibe was sisterish, and my vibe was brotherish to her the very first day we met. The energy, I don't know, because I wasn't in there like, oh shit, Mary, oh shit. I was in there like, yo, what the fuck is up? Where the fuck can I smoke? I'm about to make a store run. If y'all want something, let me know. Text that shit to me, but I'm going outside and smoke. I wasn't on no, hey, how you doing? All right, I'm fresh. I'm here. Nah, none of that shit. Me, I was being me. And we clicked the very first day, bro. And I've been places where I wasn't with bro. I was with other people. And she saw me and fresh, hugs, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's my girl. But I built relationships with a lot of the artists he was working with. And was on a couple of projects that didn't go through because, you know, when it come to the red tape, man, the red tape thick. Regular scissors don't cut that shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to be with somebody that got the red tape cutters, or You just got to stand there and wait till they fucking bust the tape for you. So I was supposed to be on the SWV joint, but they already had in mind to put Redman on it because they was trying to revive the girl's situation. So mm-hmm. they already had Redman in mind. But they was like, nah, put him on it. We like him. We like his style. We like his aura and everything. Let's hear what he got. They loved it, but they still had to run with Redman. Mm-hmm. And that's on this joint called Lose My Cool, SWV. It's an ill joint. Ill joint. Produced and written by Malik Pemberton. What's up, baby?
What's wrong with you?
Like him, slap. But, so yeah, I was around a lot of the artists. He was went, flew me to Cali with him, treated me. Like, we that's my brother to this day. You know what I'm saying? I could call him and one ring phone call type rings. You know what I'm saying? But I kept relationships with everybody in the music business. And I'm still on it. I'm about to go back a little harder because I think I've always been ahead of my time. So I think the stuff I'm talking about, they're not going to get that shit right now. They won't understand that shit till 7, 8, 10 years from now. And I noticed that because I got a song right now to this day. It's my biggest song called Make My Day that was released 21 years ago. And people still ride by me playing it and singing it out the window. Damn. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, something that was done 20 years ago, they still appreciate it. Then mm-hmm. that was ahead of its time.
So what you think about these young quote unquote
artists, snappers, these young whippersnapper rappers?
When I
say stuff, they say, "Oh, gee, you hate it."
That's what they say. Yeah. Hey, when you don't agree, that's what you do. You hate if you don't agree.
Yeah, and know what I turn around and tell them? Young blood, OGs don't hate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to school you, young man. You talking about this Porsche you pulling up in? Bro, we know you. You ain't got no Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them out there that's like this, not just my inner town ones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young cats. I pull out the AK and blow up the whole. Bro, you ain't even got a 22. Like, don't put in your rhymes what you ain't because it will surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
One way or another, and it's gonna bite you. It's like a fucking four-headed snake, bro. When you
mm-hmm.
all that is lying.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about guns and all that wild stuff, I say if I was to do something, mm-hmm. this is how I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to get in the game, because I ain't in it no more, this is how I would do it now. This is what mm-hmm. I'll be selling. This is what mm-hmm. I'll be flipping. And I'll talk mm-hmm. the numbers and the lingo and all that because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not on that no more. My rhymes now, at a 50-year-old man, is 50-year-old lingo.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm still good at rhyming. I'm still good at music. I'm still pretty handsome, you know. Still in the best shape of my life. Still mm-hmm. mentally sharp, physically, you know, spiritually. I live off energy. I live off good energy. And I don't let too much of nothing stop me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why I got this saying, people say it, and they could call it reverse psychology if they want. I just like to take stuff and make it what I want it to be. They say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Fuck putting my eggs in all these baskets. I came to a point where I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. Know why? Because now I can see everything I got. I own and got my hands on this one basket.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch all these baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I need one basket. So I'm taking my music, my DJing. I just went and bought some DJ equipment. This is what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm about to go crazy, bro. I just went and bought some DJ equipment, some Serato and all that shit. I've been practicing lately. I was practicing and downloading songs earlier because I'm about to mm-hmm. show the world. Look, this is what I was doing in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying? I didn't practice this. This is what I did then. So here it is again. I'm gonna take that egg. I'm gonna take that rapping egg. I'm gonna take my production egg. I'm gonna take my fashion egg. I'm gonna take my acting egg. You know, my skits and the web series and all that. I'm gonna take that egg. I'm gonna take my daily 9-to-5 job. I'm gonna take that egg. I'm gonna take my other little side hustles. I'm gonna take those eggs. Because I do other little stuff, not necessarily sell drugs. I do other little stuff like landscape type stuff, construction, like, you know, electrical work. I'm pretty handy. My father was a very handy dude and was teaching me that. That's another thing I grasped onto in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very handy. I just don't have the certificates to go to that level. Cause that's where I would be, probably on somebody building, making, you know what I'm saying? Making $80 an hour, $100 an hour, just getting paid, you know, $250 a year type shit. But I don't have them papers to do that. So I call it a hustle now. And I just hustle. People call me to their house to do little shit. I go make that money. The haircutting thing. I'm a barber. I cut some hairs today. I got all new. I keep my equipment new. I buy new clippers when they drop. I buy new materials, everything. I'm taking that egg. I'm just putting all my eggs, man, and my fatherhood egg, being a father. I'm putting everything in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to run, man. I'm just going to run.
That's what's up.
Just going to run. Up. You know?
That's what's up.
I did my thing.
I want to get into filming, too. You know what I mean? One day I tend to buy a camera.
Shit, man. Listen, man. You put that DJing in the front of everything and trail everything right behind it, you out of here. Trust me.
Yeah.
You out of here. That DJing thing, man. That thing, yo, you can get through any door you want to in any city, in any country.
Yeah.
You know how you see it. You see it. You be on this internet, man. You see it.
Yeah.
Word up. Another thing I wanted to ask you. I know shit getting crazy up there in Elizabeth and Newark or whatever like that. You know what I mean? I know you're staying safe because, you know, you made it here to the live tonight, Nathan. I was getting kind of worried when I didn't see you on there earlier. I was like, damn, man, I hope he ain't caught up in that. And, you know, I'm wondering if they filming. I was wondering all types of stuff or whatever. How you see this whole George Floyd thing?
Sad, man. Sad to say the least and to say the most. You know, most of us, man, we start becoming immune to the damages that's done to us. You know, it's happened to people we don't know. It's happened to people we know. It's not fair. But, you know, People could call it what they want to call it. I call it just a simple murder, senseless murder. That's what I call it. You know, a senseless murder. I don't know what degree, first, second, third. I'll let them deal with the numbers and all that. But the higher one is a senseless murder, and it's just sad, man. Like, I watched it the first time just to get a vision, just to see what it is for my own, because I don't, you know, people be out here, it's a lot of acting, it's a lot of Hollywood going on, it's a lot of red flag stuff going on, it's a lot of shit going on. So I
people
always
using it for their own advantage. They try to jump on bandwagons for their own advantage.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked at it, man, corny shit, man. Fucking corny shit. Don't want to say what I really want to say. But it's just sad, man. It's just corny to watch that man, you know, killing somebody and they die right there, or a few breathes, a few breaths and they died. And all right, cool. But 9 minutes, man, with your knee on that man's neck. And after about 4 to 5 minutes, he telling you he can't breathe, and then you continue it for 4.5 more minutes. And then this man calling out to his mother, and she's dead already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that part right there should have had, that should touch a soul, man. If that don't touch a soul, then you're dealing with something that's soulless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you're dealing with has no soul. Because a man screaming out to his mother for help, and his mother's been dead for 2 years already. That's what jammed me up, man.
This is why I try to explain to people. I'm like, listen, a lot of people say, I don't know why they wilding out, why they looting, why they tearing shit up in anything in different cities. I'm like this, listen, you can say you don't know why, but you got to understand this. You can't tell people how to direct their anger. You can't tell people how to direct their pain. You can't tell people how to direct their, you know what I'm saying, how to direct their emotions. Because the first thing that we say when and you hear this from a lot of chicks, you hear from a lot of dudes, it's like the first thing that you hear people say when they got some money and they spend it on something that's crazy or whatever like that, you say, yo, why you buy that? They say, you can't tell me how to spend my money.
Right.
It's the very same thing, even worse. You can't tell somebody how to manage their emotions. So when somebody get upset and they angry and they disgruntled and, you know, and they just resentful or whatever over something that they've been dealt and everything in a, you know, unjust way, how you going to tell them how to handle it? You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to do. You can't tell them, like, yo, hey, go get a permit. Go downtown, get a permit to, so that you can go down there and anything, and you can march on, you know what I'm saying, City Hall or whatever like that, and they, you know what I'm saying, yo, and then we'll, you know what I'm saying, it'll be a peaceful protest.
Right.
You can't tell somebody to get a permit to protest.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't say that. You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, when somebody and anything going through something and they feeling something or whatever like that, they're going to handle it the way their heart says to handle it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, when you watch this dude over and over again, and we're not even his kids, we're not even his, you know what I'm saying, his kin, we're not even his relatives or whatever. We're only related to him and anything, you know what I'm saying, because we're all black. Right. But it's like, yo, when you watch this dude and anything get killed before your eyes, you know what I'm saying, 100 times over now, because, you know, we all watch it a bunch of times, you know what I'm saying, you turn off the TV, you'll see it on the internet or whatever like that. It's like, yo, man, it gets to the point you just start saying like this, damn, man, you know what I'm saying? At some point, you develop some type of emotion and anything where you say like this, damn, man, yo, you can't tell me how to feel. You know what I mean? So when you start seeing people tearing stuff up, you know what I mean? It's like, who's the hell to tell them people and anything, you know what I'm saying, yo, what to do and what not to do? My only question is like, yo, after all of this is over, it's like, what's next? What do they do next?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I only say that, Nathan, because I was caught up in a situation, Nathan, when I was in prison, Nathan, where, you know what I'm saying, yo, we rioted, Nathan, and, you know, we stood out front, we were ready to beef with, you know what I'm saying, the goon squad and all of that, and they came, and they were shooting bean bags and all of this stuff, and my man told me, he was like, yo, go inside. I said, why? I said, yo, let's rock till, you know, till it's over. And he said, nah, it ain't like that. And I said, what you mean it ain't like that? He said, people ain't the same no more. I said, what you mean? He's like, oh, he said, after this is all over, what's next? And I looked at him and anything, yo, it hurt my heart, man, and anything. I was like, he said, they just going to change the rules after it's over. And that's what's going to happen after all of this is over. Because if you don't plan on taking over and anything and truly taking over to change the system yourself, then, yo, nothing's going to change but what's worse for us later.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? You can loot and you can do all of that stuff like that and anything, but the only thing that it's going to do is just change the rules. That's right. All it's going to do.
Right. They're going to put more shit in place and just put their foot on our neck, man, even more.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, a lot of the bills and all that shit that be getting passed, man, it's a lot of it has to do with keeping their foot on our neck.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
They, for the lack of a better word, they can't stand our ass.
No doubt.
And they shouldn't be blaming us. They should be blaming God.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got people of these type of people, most of them don't believe in a God. You get what I'm saying? So they don't fear what God would think if they did something. Or what would he do if they did something? Knowing you shouldn't do something. If you feel like you can do something and not be punished for it, what type of, what are you, immortal? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what it is right there. They don't think that there's no punishment behind what they do.
Right.
Like,
ah, man, they don't get it, man. No, let me rephrase that. They get it. They don't want us to get it. But we get it.
No doubt.
So it's like, come on, y'all. You know, like, y'all could win the battle. Like, what's the plan? Wipe out humanity? What's the plan? Whatever the plan is, I wish you the best. Succeed. You can succeed. But man, oh man, if you don't believe in repercussions for actions, then one day, clearly, as clear as you can see the moon at night and the sun in the daytime, you'll see that there is someone who's seen everything, recorded everything, knew everything, heard everything, had the knowledge of everything. You know why? Because they had it before we were even created.
No doubt.
We wouldn't have been created if we wasn't put here to do all this stuff we doing right now. God let us do what we do right now. So at the end of it all, he could go, okay, boom. For those who didn't believe in me, here I am. You know, not saying it in a human sense. Just, okay, for everybody that didn't believe in one or me, here I am. For all of y'all who didn't think I saw everything, look. Didn't hear everything? Look. Didn't know everything? Look. I'm going to play everything back for everybody. On this day, those who did good, I'll give you good. Those who did bad, I'm going to give them bad. No unjust judgment, neither. No unjust judgment. What you give is what you're going to get. And... well, who want to wait to death to find out if that's true or not?
Yeah, yeah. That's a little bit of surprise. A little bit surprise.
Why wait to the last moment to go, my bad? You know what I mean?
I will. Yeah, no doubt. Well, yo, I see you ready to eat your dinner and everything. I'm going to ask you one last question before we go. And everything, you know, what the hell? Yo, Fresco passed? Fresco dead?
Damn.
God damn. You don't want to tell. If you don't want to tell me, make me watch the next episode. I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to watch it. Only because of the twist to it.
All right. Okay. Don't say no more. Say no more.
It's a nice twist. I ain't saying I die. I ain't saying I made it.
When is that episode dropping?
It should be dropping. It should be dropping next week.
Okay. Well, yo, we got like a 25 seconds left in anything, fam. Yo, yo, good to talk to you, man. I appreciate you as always.
You already know.
Anything, I'm always here for you. You know that, man. You know what I mean? And yo, enjoy your dinner. I'm looking at this next episode. I can't wait for the joint to drop. I gotta see you. I'm always waiting to see what you do with this Watch Me brand. And yo, appreciate you, fam.
Real, likewise, bro. You know the